No, I'm telling you the truth. So everybody, so don't be impressed by your own dream. That's the point I explained. What did I say? Don't be impressed. Don't think you're special. We all have it. What makes the difference between one man and the other, between one woman and the other, is that their big dream, some forget it, they are not preoccupied with it, but they are occupied with what they have now. Talking about that movie thing, what's the name of Indiana Jones? What is his name again? Harrison Ford. I read his story. Okay, I quoted one of my messages before. I've forgotten the exact quote like this. He said, no one can truly take credit for anything. He said, there is luck and there is grace. That's Harrison Ford. You know why? The Bobo knows what I'm telling you now. It was there, actor. When acting, not great actor. When hunger won't finish brand in family. You know what he did? He ignored acting. He found out that nobody's giving me any role. He's not making any money. The set, you know, do a sitting room, stuff like that. The set they use where they act, he learned how to make sets and bought hammer and chisel, nail, plane, you know, rod, all those things. He bought it and began to do work. When bro realized, say, oh boy, man go die of hunger for here. He made, in quotes now, he made it late. No one say make it. He made it late in the movie business. Very late. Why? Because the things were not moving. So the guy just said, I know they do again. Or so that a man will not die of hunger. He collected hammer and nail and became a set maker in the same place where he was looking for a job as an actor. As at some point, one did not look and say, look, there's a new series we are starting. It looks like you'll be able to do it. That was when he now started doing the Indiana Jones series and they became famous, started making all kinds of movies. But a lot of people don't know, they just sit down and put a picture of Harrison Ford on the wall. One day I'm going to be like him. And that is the reason why they never become like him. They don't realize that there are two stages of life. That other one, listen, it causes more confusion than any other thing for many people. It's good to have it. You know, like I say, good now. You have to understand what I mean by good. It's good to, you know, you have to keep yourself entertained sometimes. You know, it's good. No, really, you know, you have to choose the kind of thing that makes you happy. There are some people that what makes them happy is to go and join people down on the other side, start smoking and using wee-wee and then chasing babes. Things that will wreck their life. You understand my point? Uh-huh. So it's good for you to choose a useless thing that makes you happy that will not wreck your life. Do you hear what I said? Uh-huh. Like that. You can say what makes you happy is drinking water. You know, you will live long like that. Say, when I'm depressed, I take a large glass of water. You will live long. But if you are depressed and you take a large glass of lager, you get my point? You will soon die. So in that way, we can do some of those dreaming to keep. It's not helping you more than just entertaining you for the moment. You lie down there and say, okay, if I had $1 billion right now, how am I going to talk to Bill Gates, you know? You sit there and say, will I find first class? No. I will have them create a new class for me. It's good. Some of your friends have gone to smoke wee-wee during that period. You are not going to go crazy because you are here doing something that's more sane. That is all it is doing for you. Keep me entertained for the moment. The one that's really blessing you. The one that's really blessing you. Your name is David. And today, how many sheep do we have? 500. All right. We are going to make a projection that none of them will die before the end of the year. We are going to be able to move to this area to graze. We'll get water from here. I'm going to get lion repellent from all of them. Or get a reputation amongst the lions that the shepherd on that side is a dangerous one. Which was what David did. After killing one lion and everybody they say, oh boy, you want chop sheep. Look, I've been at the get sheep for that side. So if you go near David's sheep, now you're going to chop. The Lord is good. So whatever it is, the man gets that kind of reputation for himself. But all of this engineered towards making sure that these 500 sheep, they multiply to 1,000. You go and study people that have 1,000 sheep. How do they manage it? Okay, during mating season, where do the animals stay? Which direction do they face? You know, the kind of thing that Joseph did. They've heard the story. How do we feed the animals? That's big dreaming. Are you getting my point? That this sheep will go from 500 to a million over many years. If we can make this progression, that's what I mean by the immediate. You see, it's big. 500 to a million is big. You know that? but it's immediate progression of what he has currently. Then one day, while still thinking about the sheep, they said, "Oh boy, what's happening? Somebody is looking for you." Who? One prophet came to the household. He said, "No chopping until you arrive." And the boy arrived. As soon as he walked in, they poured oil on his head. And that was the beginning of a new phase in his life. So Jesus said, "Occupy with this until Samuel will come to your house to anoint you king." That's why I said to you, you may not have dreamt of being senator in this our country yet, but I smell a few of them in the house. Amen. Yes. I know you didn't dream of it. I know you didn't dream of it. I was doing the story on the plane of this guy, the mayor of New York, Bloomberg. All right, very loved man. People love him. Very good man. If I were discussing, say, who can the Republicans, as in America, bring now that can win elections? Somebody say nobody. I say, well, if they try Bloomberg, they stand a good chance. Quite a popular fellow. You know how much he earns in a year? Very interesting. A salary as mayor of New York, $1. Yeah, of course, that's just his choice. He has $1 a year. Why? He's America's 7th richest man. He's America's 7th richest man. So, of course, he doesn't need the money for anything. If you tune to your TV, you see Bloomberg TV. You understand? Yeah, that's his. He's America's 7th richest man. Now, how did he become that? The man just said, now, I'm not going to analyze his life. I just like to put that one down. It didn't start life out, "I'm going to be a politician." But it got to a point, what more can we do to improve our society? So he ran for office, replaced the man who was there before when his own tenure expired, Rudy Giuliani. You understand? Then he came in. And listen, many of us, that's what's going to be our portion. Amen. Many people will become president, governor, senators. That's at today. When they mention politics, you get angry. As at today. And that's the way it is. There are many young men, young women that God is calling to ministry. And God doesn't even say, "No, you're not entering the ministry." You know, I don't like people who just enter ministry recklessly. Just one small boy doesn't have anything else to do. He says he's in ministry. I don't like ministry of idleness. If you're in ministry, you should be busy. If you're not busy, go and find a job. Yeah, I'm serious. All the people that Jesus called, where did he call them? Where they were there in the morning smoking, waiting for the coming of the Lord? All those them guys were fishing. Even the one that was a bad man was busy doing bad. The tax collector was collecting tax. He wasn't sitting down there saying that, praise God, Messiah shall come one day. He said, "My mom must work." Then the guy go. He said, "Tax collecting is bad business. Let me do it first." Many Nigerian politicians have more respect before God than some of these are our pastors. You think I'm joking? But say, look, I know he's corrupt, but he's busy corruptly doing something good. You're going to laugh. God, just look and say, this guy wakes up in the morning. Okay. He chops more money, but in that process, they don't tar the road. They never tar the road. They don't tar the road. He gave a few scholarships. I'm not saying he's a nice fellow, but this is my guy. He's always praying. Pray for this coming of the kingdom. Pray for the coming of the kingdom. No, I'm not seeing any fruit in his life. If I say this, you make it laugh. You think God is going to get to heaven and say, "God, say, come. Alanka, call those guys for me. Ask him, how many women did he kiss that was not his wife?" He said, "Sir, no. Ah, let him enter heaven. Lie, lie." You see, I've told you all these videos you watch that say when you use jewelry, you don't use makeup, you will go to hell, you will not go to hell. It's a lie. Most of those who are removing those earrings, and they will burn faster, you know, because the metal won't be there to waste it. I'm telling you, when you get there, when you knock the door, if any angel say, "Oh, what? You use jewelry?" You say, "No, I've been Nigerian Christian." If any angel asks that kind of thing, say, "My friend, clear come out. Get behind me, Satan. Get me the correct angel at this door." Don't answer them. Be nice, Leo. If any, you read the door of heaven, one angel said that, "Hey, did you perm your hair?" He said, "We didn't concern you." So, "What? You're talking to me? You want to enter heaven?" "My friend, Claire, That way, I follow Father and back. I'll plead the blood on you right now. Listen, I'm telling you, the angel goes step fast. Say, oh, enter now. I just play with you. Because the angels know the only way you get in is by faith in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. They know. Did I tell the story here? Somebody shared with us on our on chat group. One guy got us. They said to enter here. He said, you need 100 points. Did I share the story here? Uh-huh. Okay, some people are shaking their head. They didn't hear. Let me just wait 1 second. Well, somebody sent to, I can't remember who, one of my chat groups. He said that he got to heaven. He said, you need 100 points to enter. So the angel said, so the guy said, all right. I gave money to charity. The angel said, very good, 1 point. I respected my father and my mother. I'm adding things now. The angel said, very good, half a point. I preached to 100 people. Ah, very good, that's another 1.5 point. Ah, after the guy done narrate everything, they go, I got 5 points. And the guy said, man, to enter this place, you know, person going to need grace. So, angel said, 100, enter. The angel said, okay, fine, you get it. Now you get the point. You understand? You're not even counting for them. I didn't use jewelry. I didn't use that. Okay, when you want to enter the place, when you get there, say, oh boy, how far? I am blood bought, sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus. My sins are washed away. The little one where I do after I confess, sharp, sharp. Telling you, they will then let you in. But when you enter, that's where your problem begins. Yes, now. That's where Allah starts. When you now enter, they bring his book. I say, praise God. When those boys were running after girls and going to party, I didn't go. You see, the party you did not go, it stopped at the door. Qualification to enter. No people they talk. Now you have entered now. Where would they now put you? Are you going to be packing garbage in heaven or discussing important matters? That is not the issue. That's when they will now sit down and say to you simply, all right, we wrote in the books that you should do good works, not refuse to do sin. There's a world of difference. Then now say, no, no, sir, I joined monastery because I was afraid of sin in the world. Making the chief garbage collector. Sit down there. The angel will preach to you, say, don't forget, a day in thy courts is better than being in hellfire. Just stay here. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. So since your confession will make you a doorkeeper right here, you've not done nothing more than, in fact, go and assist the angels, filtering those who are coming in and those who are not coming in. Why? Because you were not a faithful servant. You were not doing anything. You are getting what I'm explaining? I'm talking about the issue of grace. That where you are really going to get to in life is that God will come to you one day and just say, oh boy, oh girl, come. You know what he did when he came back? Wait, now listen to this. Where is the result of what I gave you? He said, the mina you gave me made 10 more. It was the mina he had. He wasn't dreaming of, I will rule over 10 cities. Let's begin to have training programs right now. It's all lying car around. Let him organize training for us on how to rule over 10 cities. No. He took the mina and went out to multiply it. He could see that one. I hope you are getting my point. He could see it. He could see the sheep. David, now, my father's sheep. Let's multiply my father's sheep. He saw the money. Let's multiply the money. Let's strategize. Okay, we'll use this one to buy, like one brother was telling me, we'll buy beans. We'll carry it from this place to this place, sell it, help people get beans in their homes, bring the money back, buy rice. So that's the business he used to do. He was telling me. At the end of the day, he's multiplying the money, and the Lord is watching. When he came, when the Lord came back, he said, now, where is it? Oh, you gave me one mina. Now, over time of doing business with integrity and righteousness, or are you using my vision, enlarging the vision? Are you getting my point? On the money, the vision is on that money. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Now we have made 10 more. The master says, fine. Now go and be in charge of 10 cities. Listen to me again. They did not know the man was using that one to prepare them for being in charge of cities. All those who sat down there dreaming of cities did not multiply their minas. And when the cities came, they were not qualified to rule over the cities. That's what I'm talking about, the way I'm talking. That's what I'm talking, the way I'm talking. Where you really get to in life. And listen, as a Christian, you must first get tired of running for things. One of the greatest achievements you will have in life is for you to be in a place where, listen to what I'm going to say carefully in context again. You must get to a place whether God gave you a motorcycle or an aeroplane makes little difference to you. You must get to a place where whether now two shirts you wear, that is wash one while the other one is getting, wear one while the other one is getting dry. And when this one dry finish, you change it, wash the other one quickly. All right? Yes, there's a place in life like that. Or you get to a place where you go build a house like Puff Daddy for your clothes, where it won't make much difference to you. In fact, where it will make next to no difference to you. When you get to that place in life as a Christian, you are made. No, you are made. Where you'll be able to admire things without wanting it. It's very important, though. Say, man, that's a fine car. Then you call your keke napep, enter it and drive, ride home with joy and gladness. Yeah, but you're just feeling happy. If you're still waiting to enter into your S-Class Mercedes-Benz before you are happy, well, that is your friend, though. And that is not your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So, if you get to that particular point, it makes it so easy for God to bless you. Because you have achieved contentment. Contentment is a place that a child of God gets to that makes grace easy when it comes to flowing in the person's life. Because it's so easy to flow in grace. The immediate dream that a Christian is supposed to dream is, look, you're a student, dream of, it's not, your person is not good to be dreaming of it alone. Dream of knowing. Are you getting my point? Dream of what? Knowing. Being able, you must get to a point where when the lecturer is talking, he looks to your face for confirmation that he's right. That's when you know that God has really blessed you. It's not when you start using an expensive phone as a student. You know that if you're a student taking pride in your expensive phone, I want to pray a prayer for you if you're listening to this from anywhere. May thief steal it in Jesus' name. You need that. You need it. So you know that all flesh is grass. It's true. You know, these students, they don't be taking pride in nonsense. I've told you, when Solomon talked about vanity, this is the meaning of vanity. Vanity is the good thing that you enjoy when it comes freely. You like that, my definition? No, Solomon went after all those things. And he said they were what? Vanity. What made them vain was the fact that he went after them. If he sat down and it blew on him, wind is sweet if it blows on you. If you and your wife now decide that since this wind is so sweet, let's run after it, they will now know you are certifiably crazy. Very important for one to understand. That is, what is the student be doing? He said, this is my occupation for now. I must know this book well, not just pass. This is how you know something. When you can explain to a layman and he gets the point, then you know it. If you have to use jargon to communicate it, you don't know anything. There's a question I always ask my students when I'm doing orals. I teach pathology, fourth year medical students. As the way I ask questions, I say, okay, listen, your friend is a law student. Because they are students also. I say, you have a friend in law. He comes and shows this result. He's from his father. His father just came from the hospital. They did a test on him. And they gave him this result. I'll read something out, our medical jargon. I'll say, explain it to the law student. That is one of my favorite questions. Explain that to a law student. Then they will start and say, actually, it means that the molecular equivalent of the differentiation of the cells means that the nuclear architecture. I said, law student, why do you think he studied law? If he knew all these molecules, he would be a science student. So then they will pause. The guy will rearrange. I said, you see, you know the truth? You don't know it. Now, what I want you to do is explain this thing in a manner that somebody who has no knowledge of medicine beyond that which is common to every man will be able to grasp it. That is a sign that you know it. What am I saying? That should be the target of a student, not to come out with a certificate. No, it is to know the stuff, to know it, you know, knowledge, epignosis, the stuff. That is his assignment for now. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Listen, you know, people often dream large dreams, useless dreams. If you didn't live here with anything today, live with this one. Every man has a dream, including those guys, you know. In Enugu, we have a few of them. People walking around on the street like this, naked. I'm feeling happy. You know, if you are naked and you are sad, you are sin. But if you're going there feeling happy, they too had a dream. So don't be impressed by that, your big dream. That one day, you know, we are going to rule this country. Listen to me, my brother. Listen to me, my sister. Everybody has one. Many of them that lost it, it was frustration that made them throw it away. So if you don't throw away that dream, it will come back to you. Listen, Joseph threw it away too. Now, I want you to understand that. What he did not throw away was faithfulness. What he did not throw away, all right, was godliness in his daily work. What he did not throw away was the immediate dream of ensuring that everybody inside the prison is happy. That was what he did not throw away. And when God wants to lift you up, you know, talking about grace, I began, you know, explaining grace. Grace does not, you know, people say that grace is unmerited favor. Yes, it is unmerited favor if you define it properly. But if you mean that it is unmerited favor in that an irresponsible man becomes president, that is a lie. Did you hear what I said? That's not grace. Grace does not mean that the boy who knows the go class is the one that had the first class. And you know, he doesn't know anything. He comes to church to testify. Praise the Lord. You know, all through my stay in school, I was a fool. All through my stay in school, I knew nothing. And I would do tests, I get zero. But look at my certificate. Now, first class. We'll call you to the side and tell you, stop disgracing the name of the Lord. Say, what if the Lord did it for me? He says, see that you tell no man. No, there are things God will do. I say, please, I have my special reason. Don't embarrass me. People are going to think this is my normal way of behaving. That my normal way, go and read the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That this is grace in their lives. They did not eat the normal food. They did not go through the Babylonian method. Yet, when they were tested, they were found to be 10 times better. That is the grace. So, do you understand what I'm going to explain? Grace. It is unmerited in that where you are really going to, if you follow human calculation, you can't make it there. There is a qualification for grace to be manifested. It's very important. For us to understand, don't think that grace just means that anything I do, don't worry about it. No, that's not what grace means. He said it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with what? Grace. And faith has works. Faith without works is what? It's dead. One of the things you find out, the word faith in the Bible, oftentimes there's a confusion as to the meaning, whether it is faith, the way we know it, or faithfulness. Whether the fruit of the Spirit, all right, is love, joy, peace, you know, all of that. One of them is faith. Some translations will put the word faithfulness because it's the same word, faith, pistis, the Greek, the same thing. But in the context, sometimes it means faithfulness. That is, it has to be according to a man's faithfulness in the little that he has, that it might be in accordance with grace, ultimately. Irresponsible men, irresponsible women don't receive grace. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to make. We're talking about grace. Look, listen, life is divided into those two stages in that, you know, looking at our context for today. There is a stage in which you are proved faithful, and then a stage in which God now confers the ultimate rulership of 10 cities over the man, over the woman who proved faithful when he or she was given one talent, one mina, and he or she multiplied it into 10. Therefore, I discourage Christians from dreaming idle dreams. It is good to have it, like I said to you, instead of smoking, use that dream to entertain yourself. But then the real dream should be occupied with is how do I, that is a big dream, it must be connected to what you are doing now. It must be. You must use that dream, the ability of God in you, to increase that which you are doing currently. He said, what if the business is not my own? Jesus said it like this: if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another, who will give you your own? People don't realize, you know, let me tell you the truth. You don't have any disadvantage in life. I don't know what I hear what I said. You don't have. What you call a disadvantage is actually your own training school for the release of your own grace. And what you call an advantage in somebody else, like I said last time, may be the problem that will prevent him or her from reaching where God really wants him to get to. He just has a different training school. I mean, when it came to Moses, Moses was trained in the palace. Are you getting my point? That's why he was trained. It is not right to now say that Moses was lucky. I mean, you know, with all the things we know about Moses, oh boy, life was hard for that brother. It was. 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the wilderness. It's better if you never went to the palace. Don't you know that? Then you won't know what you are missing. But that was just his own way of being trained. We must remove this issue of enjoyment from our heads. Joseph was... Nobody's enjoying. Everybody's busy. I don't know what I heard I said. No child of God is enjoying. Everybody's what? Everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. Everybody. That's what it is to be a Christian. To be a child of God. You are either busy being trained or you are busy executing that which you were trained to do. That's just the way it is. You are that busy right now being trained, or you are busy executing that which you were trained to do. Nobody's enjoying anything. I can't finish my message without getting back to that matter again. You know, I know some of you are tired of me now when I will say it. As I even said, and when you give, God will not give back to you. Say, I know you are tired. Listen, you want to be tired of me? Go and meet all those preachers on TV and the churches. When they stop saying their own, I'll stop saying my own. It's competition. Who will wear out first? When you not give, God will not give you more. Listen, as Christians, God doesn't give you more to eat. He gives you more to do. Does God multiply? Yes. He said, he that supplies seed to the sower will multiply what? Your seed for sowing. If you sow plenty today, God makes you a bigger sower tomorrow. But it's still a matter of what? Sowing. There's never a time a Christian crosses his leg and says, I have sowed, it is now time to reap. No. If you have finished sowing, it is time to be able to sow some more. So what God does is to multiply what? Your seed for sowing. What am I going to emphasize? The fact that we are everywhere we are going to in life. Listen, let me just say this. You know, I say this all the time, that God will make governors, senators from amongst his people. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I say to you again, he will make you something that you did not even dream about. Say amen.
Amen.
Some people who are not even thinking of doing big business, they are the ones that will become billionaires.
Amen.
Yeah. That's how did I become a billionaire? He said, I was teaching in that school. I was, teach you. They along the lines, God will just open doors. You know, I sent a man of my purpose, he said, from a distant country. Somebody would just show up and say, let us do this. Well, you know what's happening? They announced one day, you know, like that one day I read about this man one day, not a Christian, I just want to explain something from his life. Paul Getty. I think he bought a magazine and Forbes just listed him as the richest man in the world. That was when he realized how rich he was. Let me just use that his life story in that area to make a point. He said, as a young boy, he decided to strike his rich. His father was rich. All right? So he now decided to strike it rich also. If I said something in his book, he said that it used to annoy him when people said that he had an advantage because his father was rich. He said his father didn't give him anything. Personally, I believe that what his father just gave him was the mind, let me put it like that, the environment, you know. So he knew about all business, being living with his father. He knew that in those days, that $1 million, all right, it was a lot of money, but he knew it was possible. So he got up one day and decided he was going to make $1 million. Long ago. It's like an American today say, I want to make $100 million. So he went after it. He walked and walked. He was doing what they call wildcatting, you know. You know, there's Shell, there's Mobil, kind of people. But if you're an independent person trying to strike it in drilling your own oil fields, and in America, it's not like Nigeria where everything under the earth belongs to the government, and the ones above the earth belongs to the government. In those countries, anything you lay your hands on is your own. All the government will collect from you is tax. So what you need to do, just buy land. Once you buy the land, anything below it and above it are your own. So that's what they were doing. So he said, a lot of people go bankrupt because if you do the number of wells and you don't yield much, you understand, you are out. But if you get, fine. So he went into it. After a while, he made $1 million. He was in his 20s at that time. He went back home and told his parents that now I've made my million. Time to stop working. And his father was alarmed. What? That life is not like that. The boy couldn't hear. No. I've made my million. I'm not working again. That time, $1 million was huge. It's more like $100 million today. So, the guy relaxed. But God was good to him in that he did a few things. The money finished. I don't know how long, but after a relatively short while, you know, he started living riotously, living large, having fun. The money finished, which was an advantage to him. He said one day he woke up and found he didn't have money again. So he went back to work and realized that this money, you can't make it and start spending. You just have to continue working. He said he continued to work to do business. He continued to work to do business until one day he picked up Forbes magazine and he was the richest man in the world. Until that time, he did not know how rich he was. He said, people think he's being funny when he said, how much money? He said, I don't know. He said, he's not lying. That the truth is that all he does is business. I just continued doing business. And then one day, somebody else was counting. And that man is the richest man in the world. There's a principle in that, even though, of course, the general picture of his life I've used to preach because he didn't know God, so he made a lot of mistakes, and of course, money was a curse to his family, according to the testimony of his son. All right? But the point I just want to make from there is that you see, some people think I've sown, then I will now reap. No. The man made it clear that no, life is just about doing your business. And as he was doing his business, all right, one day he realized he was the richest man in the world. In the same manner, many people, no matter how small your business is, you get what I'm trying to explain. While doing your business, you will look back and say, like the Bible says, who begat me this great wealth? And then you will understand the power of grace. Talking about Isaac, let me summarize so that I will not disconnect from what we have been talking about. This is what I'm making, that the life of Isaac is when God fulfills his promise in your life. That's what Isaac is. And don't ever forget, it is that promise that God wants to fulfill. God has a promise that, listen, before you were given a body, he said, a body that has prepared for me. That is, notice it, there was a me because before there was a body. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. It's a body that has prepared for me. That is a sacrifice and offering you have not desired. Then said I come in the volume of the books it is written of me. That is, God wrote the volume of books and said, how do we fulfill this thing that we have written? He said, let us send somebody down to the earth. He said, all right, how would the person get down to the earth? Let's prepare a body. He said, how do we get the body? Let's get Mr. A to marry Miss B, and then they will produce Master AB or Miss AB. Do you understand? That is, before you were given a body, there was an assignment. And what God is doing in your life is engineering everything to bring forth his assignment to pass. That's what he's doing. And he's saying that you have only one responsibility, to allow my grace to become manifested. And what is it? I give you the first stage of life in which you prove faithful. Spend your spiritual energy on that one. All those principles you read in books, you know, a man should learn to declare. A man should know how to focus. Even me, I teach the power of focus and stuff like that. Use it on that first stage. Because when you multiply the meanings appropriately, I will now be able to release the fullness of destiny into your life. Listen, everybody, every resource, everything you need on this earth to become what God created, not what you desire to be, or what God created you to be. I don't want to go into another message. One of the major things you do early in your life is to merge your own personal desires with what God created you to be. It's job, it's work. You have to do it, all right? Now, everything that God requires or that you require to become what God created you to be, do you know the things are already waiting for you to be ready? I'm telling you. He said, this is my business, what I need. If I can have a billion now, this business, God said, don't worry. When you are ready for the billion, I'll send it. Now, I was telling my wife, as we you know, we traveled. So on the flight back, at the point I was just meditating. I just turned, I said, hey, okay. I said, I guess to your point, I just realized something. I was talking about myself. Now God is saying to you simply, Banky, I have opened all the doors. If you are waiting for me to swing it wide open, forget it. I don't get my point. I have unlocked it. If you touch it, it will open. It just struck me. I said, if you touch the door, it will swing. So if you are waiting for the door, just throw wide open. What I'm telling you now, get up. You know, God said to them, listen, I have given you the land of Sihon, the king of this and all. He said, now begin to contend with him in battle. Ah, did you know that? I have given it to you. Now must I go and fight? He didn't say, you know what? I have driven them away. Now go and settle. He said, no, I have given you the land. Begin to contend. You know what that means? What God was saying, in effect, is that once you get in there and raise your hand in contention against them to claim that land, they will all disappear. What God was saying to them, in effect, is that I have given you the strength, the energy, I have given you everything. I'm in an issue here. That is, anything that God, that you will require to become what God wants you to be in life, he has already prepared it. You just say, you grow up to that level to be able to do it. And how do you grow up to that level? It is simple. Currently, I've given you one assignment for today. Occupy on that one. You will discover that you are not disadvantaged in any form. Listen to me, let me say it to you clearly. If your business is $100 million, one day, $100 million will walk up to you. I don't know whether I hear what I said. That's all I have to say. I hope you're blessed today. Let's bow down our heads and just give you the thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you.